Imagine knowing exactly what your students are learning and exactly which steps you need to take next.
Join us in Download the Reading Quiz to craft meaningful and productive formative assessments that move away from gotcha moments of basic recall and toward assessing what your students actually can do.
In this 30-minute free masterclass, we'll share three powerful assessment keys that work for any novel at any time of the year.
Head to shop.bravenewteaching.com/masterclass to sign up, and we'll also send you a free workbook to keep track of all your notes.
Once again, that's shop.bravenewteaching.com/masterclass to nail formative assessments forever. Well, hello and welcome back to Brave New Teaching. It's Amanda today. You are getting me solo on this episode, and I am really excited to talk to you, but only under a couple of conditions, all right? So this episode is not for everyone, and I want to be very clear who this episode is for right from the get-go, because this might be one that you want to skip. This might be one that you want to pass along. So I want to make sure that you know exactly what's going to happen today. So in 2021, I left the classroom for a period of time, and I guess you could call it an era. And in this era, I have been working really, really hard at fulfilling my dream of being a professional development leader, specifically in the inquiry space and in the secondary ELA community. I love teaching students, and I loved my classroom for 13 years, never stopped. But along the way, I really found how deeply I love teaching teachers. One of the things that I was very lucky to be able to do during my tenure as a teacher was to spend several of my summers working in programs and universities with undergrad students and upcoming teachers, and mentoring them, supporting them, and even observing them in their classrooms in their early days, working with students in summer school and things like that. So all that is to say is today's episode, what I really want to give listeners who are ready for it is a peek behind the curtain so that you can see what it is that I do for professional development. What are the kinds of sessions that I run? How do I run it? What are the different types of sessions that I've done with schools? And I also wanted to, even if you're not interested in my actual PD, it's not something that you need right now. I think this episode is also for administration and teacher leaders who are making decisions about hiring for PD. Because now that I've been in it for a while, I really know what the components are of what makes professional development successful for the teachers in your room. There are some really harrowing statistics out there about the effectiveness of PD these days. Teachers are quite disillusioned by the idea that a professional development will actually develop them. And so these are some of the things that I abide by as a creator, as someone who delivers PD. And I thought it would be a good checklist to share with departments and with administrators who are thinking about hiring out for some professional development. So if you are in a hiring position, you want to hire PD. If you are a teacher who wants to know more about what I do for PD, or maybe you're a teacher who would someday like to do some PD of her own, then this will be the perfect episode for you to listen to. If PD is not on your radar at the moment and you don't really, this isn't interesting to you, I totally get it. And we'll see you next week. But we're going to jump into this episode and look at the six components of what makes professional development excellent and a little bit about some of the things that I actually do in my own sessions. So without further ado, let's cue the music. You're listening to Brave New Teaching, and we are so much more than a podcast.
We give teachers the inspiration, support, and tools to challenge the status quo.
I'm Amanda, and I'm a former English teacher from Illinois.
And I'm Marie, and I'm a teacher from Southern California.
Join us at bravenewteaching.com to find out more about our courses, festivals, and get every episode's show notes.
We're so glad you're here. Enjoy the show.
go through this checklist of really like my six most important things that the best, most phenomenal PD should have. And these are the six things that I made a list from my own experience as a teacher. And as now a PD deliverer, as someone who delivers PD, I follow this list of six because I can remember how badly I needed each of them when I was actually the one trying to learn. So these are the six that I abide by at all times. Okay, number one, meet teachers where they are. We talk about this on the podcast a lot, but meet teachers where they are. I think that especially post-COVID, teachers are especially attuned to scenarios where the professional development person or whoever's speaking, if they are tone deaf, being aware of what teachers are going through in their particular circumstance, whether that is the school and a change that they're going through, whether that's something kind of environmental or cultural going on at the moment, it's really important to meet teachers where they are. And so one of the things that I do to do the best that I can as an outsider, when I go into a school, part of my package and whenever I put together an offer for a school is it includes multiple planning sessions with the department chair, with the leaders who are involved in the progress and the process of what's going on at that school. It also includes a Google Form survey of some sort that goes directly to the teachers before I get there. Now, I can't know everything that's unique to a department. I can't know all the insider scoop of what's happening at a particular time, but I do make a point to ask the teachers who are going to be in my room what's going on, what they're currently feeling stressed about, what their hesitations are about something that we're going to be learning about. So sometimes I'll go in for a session and I will sit down with departments and we will do vertical articulation. So articulation and alignment sometimes can give teachers this feeling of anxiety that they're going to be lockstep or scripted with other teachers. They're going to lose their autonomy. So I like to kind of get a feeler for the room before I go in to do these kinds of sessions, right? Like what are some of your hesitations? What are some of your preconceived notions about inquiry or about, you know, whatever style of learning that we're going to talk about that day? I really want to get that back from teachers. It's so valuable to me. Also, it helps me create, you know, a really individualized workshop for the school that I'm going to. I'm able to cut out things that are unnecessary because everyone seems to know what's going on. It allows me to pace and time the presentation of what I'm sharing more accurately. I can remember sitting through sessions where the presenter just kind of has, they're a one-stop shop, right? Like they've created this 50-page slide deck and they present the exact same 50-page slide deck, no matter where they go, no matter who they're talking to, no matter what the room wants, needs, or cares about. I feel like one of the things that I'm lucky to be able to do is to know that I can customize things much more clearly than that. And really the efforts not to kind of go out of my way to be customized, but to meet teachers where they are. Teachers absolutely deserve the respect for their time to not have to go through or listen to things that they either already know or that are irrelevant, completely irrelevant to the mission or the time frame that they're dealing with in their particular set of things that they're preparing for with that PD. So that's number one. Number two, discussing and sharing scaffolding or scaling options. So I can remember multiple occasions where I've sat through a PD, and again, it's kind of just been presented as a inflexible package deal, right? This is how you do this strategy, or this is the name of the strategy. This is how it works. And then there's one way to do it, or here's a new technology. Here's the one way to use it. And that's it. If and when it is at all possible, providing space and time for either the teachers to discuss or the person providing the PD, that person should be coming to the table prepared to talk about the ways it can be adapted, modified. There is no one size fits all anything. There never has been, and there especially is not now. All of our students need such a variety of nuanced things to serve them as students that to present a PD that's kind of straight and narrow without sharing those scaffolding options is really just going to put more work on your teachers. So if you can, you know, kind of suss that out from the developer that you're considering have come to your school, get a feel for their ability and desire to look at the different ways that, the strategy or whatever it is can manifest for different kinds of students. I'll give an example of what I did today. So I was at one of the PDs that I'm doing. It's a year-long school, year-long project with a elementary school that's working on building their IB, their International Baccalaureate credential. And so today's discussion or today's topic was discussion strategies that foster inquiry-driven learning and experiences in the classroom. And so we talked about and I demonstrated the one word discussion strategy. So I went through the whole thing with everyone. And at the very end, teachers said to me, Amanda, but what if this happens? Or what if my kid needs this? Or what if this and what if that? And so we not only went through all of those individual what if scenarios, but I also had my own modifications and adaptations to share with teachers on the spot, right? So I presented it to them one way, I answered their questions, and then we did the exact same activity with a totally different set of modifications. And then we did it a third time with a whole different set of modifications. And some of the modifications were designed to adapt to EL learners. Some of the modifications were adapted to challenge students at the higher grades or students that were more on the gifted track. I was prepared to share with my teachers to take that one strategy, but to make little tiny tweaks to adjust the difficulty. That was on me as the presenter to have ready to share with those teachers. And that's what you should expect from a presenter, is preparedness to do that, because it would not have been helpful for me to say, here's the strategy, now go do it. And you're on your own to figure out how to adapt it to your students. Granted, right? Not every single thing that I share, I don't have solutions for every single scenario, but I have a lot of suggestions, a lot of ideas, and I respect the space needed to discuss those solutions if I don't already have them prepared. And that's just a vital component of this process for me. All right. My third most important thing we can do in a PD is to demonstrate strategies in real time and give teachers the real experience of doing and being part of the class during that strategy. Let your teachers be students. It can be really tempting when there's not a lot of time to talk about a new strategy or about a new initiative or, you know, talk around an idea, but to actually give the time needed to set up the activity, do the activity, go through the strategy, see through all of the setup, the during, the after. It's invaluable. And we know, just the same way that we teach our students to experience something, not only makes it more memorable, but makes it easier to then recreate on their own. So when we're trying to train our teachers to be the best they can be, we're trying to train them and help them and support them in being even more effective in the classroom, we need to let them marinade. We need to let them be in it. If we attack them with a list of new ideas and do a lot of talking about them, it's not going to settle in the same way that getting to do the experience is. I can remember at one of the best NCTE conferences that I went to, I attended a Shakespeare workshop, and that was exactly how they ran their Shakespeare workshop. So again, like, I'm taking this list of six things from the best PD that I've ever experienced. And I'll never forget, we learned this argumentation strategy, this characterization strategy, and they called it angel versus devil. And so the idea was that one student would play the main character who's got this kind of moral decision to make. And I believe we did Macbeth for our sample. And so one volunteer was Macbeth and stood in the middle of a line taped on the floor. And then a group of us stood on one side of that line, and then the other half of the group stood on the other side of the line. And one group was the angel group, right? That was the group who was trying to encourage a positive moral decision. And then there was the devil group that was trying to encourage the less positive moral decision. Whenever I've taught it, I've called it the shoulders decision. So it's like, you know, it's still a play on that angel versus devil sitting on your shoulder. I just don't use angel versus devil. I use the shoulders. And so the cool thing about this experience is that, you know, we're sitting, you know, I was on the devil's side. I can still remember it. And I'm there with like six or seven other phenomenal high school English teachers. And we're kind of brainstorming what are our quick win arguments to get Macbeth to follow through on murdering King Duncan. You know, we're trying to get him to pull out the knife and dig it in. And so we're over here, we're brainstorming. And so we take turns kind of calling out to Macbeth why he should go forward with this plan, why he should kill Duncan. And as we're calling out our arguments, Macbeth in the middle is either moving closer to us on that line of tape or closer to the angels. You know, they're calling out arguments as well. We're going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And I can remember being part of this experience and the energized feeling that I had in watching that middle character move closer to my side. And I could actually see that my argument was working in real time. And so to know and to have that experience as a teacher, not only could I like recite the exercise back to you almost instantly, but it was so easy to implement in my classroom right away because I had already done it. I didn't read about it, take notes on it. I did it so that I could do it again quickly. If we're looking for professional development to be effective in the long run, we need teachers to be excited about the strategies that they're learning, excited about the opportunity to actually do something that they loved as well. And so that is part of why we need to make sure that there's ample time for teachers to experience the learning themselves. That's how we're going to have a higher return on investment in the time that we're giving teachers, in the spend that it costs to bring in someone who's going to give professional development. As someone who does this, I charge what I charge to my schools, but I charge based on what I know I am able to provide my teachers for months and months and months to come, and how much time I spend ensuring that the way that I've packaged the experience of the day is something that's going to be long lasting. That is so vitally important. All right, number four, I also think we need to be really clear about this one. Professional development leaders must be upfront and honest about pitfalls. Okay, so this kind of links back to numbers one and two. We don't want to go into any experience as a leader being tone deaf or being so passionate about your system that you're blind to the places where it's going to be difficult for certain learners, certain teachers, certain situations, right? So being really upfront and honest about where things can go wrong goes a long way with staff. As a teacher, I can remember like really respecting someone who came in and said, you know, this works really well in X, Y, and Z scenario, but I'm going to be honest with you, it's still not quite there for these other scenarios or these other student populations. It's okay. I don't think we are really looking for someone to sell us snake oil. We're not looking for someone who's going to give us a one-stop shop band-aid. This is going to be a miracle drug. No, that's not what teachers want. What teachers want is honesty, variety, and choice. And to be upfront about where this might not work so well, that's great. So one of mine, when we talk about inquiry-driven learning and I present to schools, this is the most common thing that I do, is that I will go into a school and I will present kind of a little bit of direct instruction in the morning about what inquiry is, how inquiry works. We'll look at an inquiry essential question-based curriculum map and a unit map, and we'll talk about all of the wonderful things that inquiry can do for students. But here's one of the pitfalls. One of the things that falls through the gaps with inquiry are some of the more nuanced pieces of writing instruction. So grammar and vocabulary are two things that are not always part of this design through inquiry. So I do have solutions. I do have ways that I have found that are really successful. Vocabulary more so than grammar. I think grammar is still kind of the black hole that is still really difficult to teach through an inquiry lens. That's still something that we struggle with, but I'm honest about it, right? Like, we also need to decide, is that a priority? And if grammar and grammar instruction is a priority, then maybe inquiry is not also the priority at the moment. And again, hopefully that's something that we would have already talked about before the meeting, and we probably wouldn't have chosen inquiry if the department was focusing on grammar, but neither here nor there, right? When a teacher inevitably raises their hand and says, well, when do I have time to teach colon splices, comma splices? I will say, you might not during this unit, right? I might say that that is something that doesn't really fit into the priorities of this type of a unit. So maybe it needs to exist somewhere else. So honesty can go a long way, and it's very, very important for teachers. Number five, this is still something that I struggle with because I feel like the perception of this, I'm always nervous that this is going to be perceived in a way that's not what I want it to be perceived, but let's just say what it is. So number five, give time for planning and coaching. So most of my workshops that I run, I give schools a choice if at the end of the session they want 1 hour of work time and coaching or 2 hours of work time and coaching, because there's only so much I can directly instruct. There's only so much I can do in small groups before teachers need to actually have time to sit down and look at their individual units, their individual lessons, and work through it on their own and really start to apply the concepts that we've gone through with inquiry-driven learning or lit circles or whatever we're working on. I want teachers to have that time. But I also want them to have the opportunity to workshop ideas with me while I'm there in person. And so those two choices are really important for the school because that's where they're going to get their teachers to create product, right? So I also want you guys to think about this if you are on the admin side. Whoever it is that you're hiring, what products will be completed, started, or in process by the end of the PD? Is the PD just a cycle of sessions where there are lots of ideas, or does the PD align with the creation of or completion of a curriculum map, a unit map, an assessment? What is actually going to physically come out of that PD as a result? Because that's also where your investment is vital, right? Like if you're going to, whatever you're going to spend on this PD, if it's ideas, that's great. But if it's ideas and product, it's even more worth what it is that you're paying for this PD. I can remember at a school, I will not name the school where I used to work. There was a speaker who was paid upwards of $10,000 to motivationally speak to us on a couple of half days during COVID. And I don't know how word got out about how much we were paying him, but the product was zero. And the person who provided the PD was a delightful human. He was a real nice guy. But the buy-in was just, I can't imagine that there was a very high return on that investment. Now, maybe there was a return on the perception from the community or something like that. But if you got $10K to spend on professional development, spend it on someone who's going to get your teachers to produce work and is then also going to vet that work. That is a really core component of the ends of my workshops. I also make sure that sometimes schools will ask me if I can take this part off, but all of my workshop packages come with at least 1 hour of a coaching follow-up phone call. So anyone from the team that I've worked with can call me and we can be on the phone for at least an hour post PD. So a couple of months later, I check in with the school. I say, how are things going? Can we set up an hour that your teachers can kind of come in for a Q&A session, or I can work specifically with one team and we can troubleshoot the things that they've learned from me, they've designed at our PD, they then implemented. And now a couple months later, we can actually talk about their success. We can tweak and we can kind of get into the depth of what it is that we do as curriculum designers. You know, 1-2 days PD is wonderful and amazing and life-changing, but it also needs to get in front of kids, right? Like, we need to test this out in front of kids. And even the best laid plans can go horribly wrong when human teenagers actually sit and do the thing that we thought was going to go so well. And so that's really important, is to find not only the balance of work time, right? I think a lot of times admin or whoever is writing the check can be feeling like they need to see something else on that itemized line of the to-do list. And that to see that teachers are having work time doesn't feel like it's valuable. I can assure you that it is. I can assure you that teachers are begging for time to implement what they've just learned because they need to do it right away. There are too many things on their mind, too many things on their list, that if they got a great idea during a great PD, they need to go plan that great idea right now. They need to go do it. And ideally, they need to go do that with then the guidance of someone who just provided the PD to help them with that. I do a couple of these sessions in Ohio every year, and we always conclude together with, like, I have kind of like a deli counter system where teachers will like take a number and then I call them over number by number, and we will go through their whatever they've worked on. Maybe they were drafting essential questions. I will work through the wording with them. Maybe they were creating a list of supplemental texts to go with their essential question unit. Maybe they were aligning their Sesame Street quizzes and trying to choose and best match their standards and skills, right? Whatever they were trying to work on, that's what I'll support them with in that coaching time. And then we'll move on to the next number, next number, next number. Okay. And number six, I kind of already hit it with five, but circle back. Are the people that you're hiring for PD dropping in and disappearing? If so, don't keep hiring them. Great professional development leaders and leaders in education, as someone who's in this field now, like, I want our field to be known not as people who are just drive by, here's the new hot thing, it's super trendy, go teach it this way. No, I want to be known as a teacher of teachers and someone who is part of your school's life and culture and comes back and visits and revisits things, whether that's virtually, whether that's coming in the spring and then again in the fall, visiting at the beginning of the year and then mid-year. I want to come to your school as a PD creator. I want to be with your teachers through multiple seasons of their work. If we are working on inquiry-driven learning and designing units with essential questions, it's not going to be done in one session. It's not going to be over. The practice and the experience is going to take time. And for someone to just kind of drop in and then never check back in. That's really unfair, I think, for the teachers in the room. So I would like you to know that that's a priority for me. It's not always possible to physically be back in the same space together, but I want you to know that like that is something that you can and should expect for great, fantastic professional development. That's going to wrap up our list of six for today. If you have questions about the PD that I offer to schools, I would love to be in touch with you and talk to you about that even more. I'm going to leave my contact information in the show notes for this episode. Everything that you need will be there today. Sochi, my daughter, says hello today. Do you want to say anything else to these lovely people? Yeah. They have been so quiet and patient while mommy's been recording.
But why are you saying forever?
Forever. Well, because I really want to help teachers become better at what they do. What do you love the most about school?
Outside.
Going outside? Well, that wasn't the answer I wanted. So anyway, thank you all for being here today. Thank you for listening. Please head to the show notes for more information. And I would love to come out to your school. I would love to come talk to your departments about vertical alignment, horizontal alignment, genre-based units, essential questions, and even bigger conversations around inquiry. I am your person. I am your go-to. Even if we just hop on the call to see what would be a best fit, I would love to do that. So please don't be shy. Don't hesitate to reach out. And I hope to meet you right where you're at and help your school and help your teachers and help your students move forward with confidence, curiosity, and adventurous teaching in their lives. Thanks for hanging out with me today, guys. Bye-bye. Thanks again for listening to Brave New Teaching.
We'd love to keep the conversation going over on Instagram.
And while you're there, check out the links in our bio for the most up-to-date events going on in the Brave New Teaching community.
Thanks for being here and have a great week at school.